Prime Minister, we have a 0.7% of national income target for overseas aid, and we hit that because it's an international obligation that we signed up to hit it.
But other countries haven't, by the way.
Yeah.
Yes,
no,
so we're a country that keeps our promises to the poorest in the world, and we should be proud of that.
Yeah, we're proud of that. OK, we have a 2% of national income on defence. NATO obligation, we promised that to our NATO allies. In fact, back at the NATO summit last year, you were badgering everybody to come and sign up to the 2% and meet the 2%, yes, like Britain does. But you're not going to be able to say to me now, I don't think that you're willing to say Britain will stick to its international obligation on defence, even though the world is more dangerous.
We have, all the time I've been in government, we have kept that 2% commitment, and we're keeping it clearly this year and next year. And the other point I'd make is when we met in Cardiff, there were dozens of countries in NATO that have never got anywhere near 2%. Britain has the second biggest defence budget in NATO. And frankly, it is time for other countries, particularly European countries, to at least get close to the 2% that we've been achieving year after year.
Can I be clear that we will meet the 2% for every year that you are Prime Minister if you're re-elected?
I will make those decisions if
That's
re-elected.
That's not an answer.
No, no,
but
it is an answer. This is the decision.
I'm
going to make those decisions in the autumn when we've had the defence review and we look at public spending in the round. But, you know, we have the fifth biggest defence budget in the world. We're not the fifth biggest economy in the world.
General,
and I will never put our defences at risk.
General Sir Richard Sheriff was number two. General Sir Richard Sheriff, number two in NATO military command. I think what we see now is an army that's deeply hollowed out as a result of the commitment of this army to what was comparatively a small war in Afghanistan and a failure to really invest in the sinews and muscle that keeps an army going. What we have in the last two decades is a form of physical and moral disarmament.
I don't accept that for one moment. I remember, as leader of the opposition in 2006 and 2007, going to Afghanistan and finding our troops did not have the correct equipment, they didn't have enough helicopters, they didn't have the right body armour. Under this government, we have prioritised the equipment programme, so our troops and our armed forces are now some of the best equipped anywhere in the world. Evan, take one example, just take the Navy, and look what we are building now. The two biggest aircraft carriers that the Navy has ever had in our history. Hunter-killer submarines that can patrol the seas silently. Right. A replacement to the Trident nuclear deterrent.
Prime Minister, you're bamboozling me with figures.
Well, these are important.
Let's be clear. Yeah. We have fewer ships than we had in the Falklands Task Force back in 1982.
But we have
Argentina, and it won't happen because we've defended the place to the hilt. If Argentina got the Falklands now, would we be able to get it back,
but
do you think?
They're not going to take the Falklands
now. But would we be able to if they did?
The question is right, because we have Typhoons stationed on the Falklands. We have patrol ships stationed at the Falklands. You know, what I look at is our country adequately defended against the threats that we face? And my answer to that question is yes. And actually, if you look at the equipment programme and what we're investing in, British Army personnel, Navy personnel, RAF personnel will tell you now we have got better equipment than we've ever had in our history. And that's what matters, is actually not the number of battle tanks you've got stationed in Germany, but have you got the modern equipment to keep our country safe with the threats we face all over the world?